Okay, so now we go into unfinished business. First item there is committee report for delegation of powers document and bylaws by Commissioner Appleton and Dr. Schwinge.
We have made progress, significant progress on the superintendent job description and delegated powers. But we're not quite there. We still have some wordsmithing to do. But I think all the factual stuff is there. I do need from each of you, at least on Exhibit A on those powers, this is an attempt to put it in what our delegation is in a chart form so that it's easier to understand than reading everything. And I'd like you to go over that. And then we will have a finished product by next meeting on that so that we can move forward on it. On the bylaws, we have two sets of comments, Commissioner Smith and myself on the bylaws. Mark has been working on those diligently, and we'll be getting our final changes into Mark and myself since we're on the committee, and we'll finish those up by the next meeting. And hopefully we'll have them up here to read in a couple of weeks. I think I'm next. I'm next for the CCC.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
So on the, well, both of them, the bylaws and the superintendent, should we send in comments that we have, like to Nathan, so he can just read them?
That'd be great.
Okay.
And I can start all the wordsmithing. I'll incorporate right away, and anything that looks like policy questions, I'll wait till everyone's had some time to get something into Nathan, or
okay.
I'll just put an asterisk and ask him to distribute a policy question so we can get the input so we can have that discussion publicly with some knowledge next time. And I want to thank Pam, and I have to tell you, I'd hate to negotiate a contract with you after making this whole list of things that you do. I mean, there's a lot of work that you do. And Chief, you're next on my list when you get back on the 15th. We're going to get yours done, too.
We want it on the 16th.
Yeah, right. Don't come back with a sunburn.
Yes.
The report of the Community Collaboration Board, they didn't meet their meeting. I didn't look. It's in my calendar someplace. We met once. Our role there, the public hospital district, is to basically communicate. That's what the CC, it's the Community Collaboration Committee. We give input. We have several members on different subcommittees there. And that committee, the CCC, basically tries to coordinate the whole county so that, you know, we don't end up polishing the shoe four times in one day. We only polish one set of shoes a day. So we all know who's doing what. That's basically it. Their minutes are not out as of yet, the last time I checked, but as soon as their minutes are out, I will share them with the rest of the commissioners.
Thank you, Warren. Next on the agenda is recapitulation of a joint meeting we had board to board, including the board meeting the PhD board, as well as Fire District 3 Board of Commissioners, as well as the mayor from the town of Friday Harbor and the town administrator, Duncan Wilson. It was a great meeting, and we had a lot of talking points provided by Chief Martin, and a lot of considerations, many of which are hypothetical and what-ifs. But when we actually got down to reality testing in the time frame that we were at, both the Fire District 3 Board of Commissioners as well as the PhD board committed to ongoing discussions. Each entity committed to $5,000 in supporting legal fees and accounting fees for not only the boards but also the Citizens Advisory Committee. And the latter, it was decided, should be comprised of five individuals. Fire District 3, the town, and the PhD are to select one. And then those three individuals in turn are tasked with appointing two additional members of the CAG. Not necessarily within the 12 applicants who have applied to date. They can go outside that arena if they so choose. That's their prerogative. Any questions about that or comments? Rebecca, you were there.
That covers it.
Okay, very good.
I had a question about, I had a question about the citizens group. Just for clarification, are their meetings meant to be open to the public, just like ours are? Have any of these things been defined?
No, I don't think so discreetly. In times past, Bob, you've been there, done that many, many times. Are they?
The last time we did that, Annalisa, it was a subcommittee, and they weren't open to the public. So they had their meetings, and it's up to them if they want to open it to the public, I believe, the subcommittee.
Yeah, I think so. You know, they're not obligated to be beholden to the Open Public Meeting Act. They're not really doing business. They're an advisory board. They're not an elected board, so.
Basically, what they're doing is a staff report.
Yeah.
So they report back to the respective boards.
Right, so they then will basically get to decide how to define themselves, what their goals and purposes are. So, essentially.
Well, we have many suggestions in that regard, and that's part of the written work product from the meeting we had jointly with Fire 3. Mm-hmm. Thanks to Dr. Schwinge for developing the vast majority of those. And they really give them very discreet and well thought out guidelines in terms of our expectations collectively. So again, you know, we're not there to dictate to them. If they want it to vary in their own way, they're given license to do that. So, Nathan.
There's very specific guidance on this. As long as this subcommittee does not have the authority to execute, they're not subject to the Open Public Meetings Act.
Correct.
So, they could be open if they wish, but they're not required to.
Hopefully that's what I tried to say, that you always say it better, so thank you. Any other comments, questions? Dr. Schwinge?
Yeah, I'd like to comment. With the addition of Rebecca Smith to our board, she brings valuable perspective, having been both a firefighter and an EMT. And whereas UDOC Reddick, myself, were delegated by the board to represent the board in these discussions with Fire District 3, I would suggest a good substitute for myself would be Rebecca Smith. And I so move that.
Are you open to that, Rebecca?
Sure. Yes.
So, with the board's permission, Sylvia, and thank you, Dr. Schwinge, for serving for so long and handing the baton off to Rebecca, so to speak. We appreciate that. And Rebecca, your service too. You know, as a commissioner on the Fire District 3 Board of Commissioners for 6 years, I think you bring a lot to the table. Not that you don't, Mark, but uniquely so. And, you know, I see potential merger with Fire 3 as the number one project for this board. Dr. Appleton, any comments? Or?
No.
So, Doctor, I made a motion.
Oh, yeah. Still had sorry. Second. So I seconded. So, fatigue again.
No further discussion about that.
Annalisa? Doctor? No. Call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 You can if you want.
I'll vote for me.
We're going to ignore your vote again. Aye. Warren?
Harry said aye.
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 Okay.
Aye.
Carries unanimously, Nathan. Thank you.
Thanks.
So the next order on the agenda is for this PhD board to select one member for the Citizens Advisory Group. Again, you know, it seems like the last 48 hours the flowers start blooming because I was, losing sleepless nights about the candidates at hand, and all of a sudden we now have 12. I must say that having looked again over their letters of interest and their CVs and their work history and what they're all about, what they get to add to this, is just unbelievably good. We're just surrounded in a sea of talented people who are willing to work for less money than we make as commissioners, which is twice as foolish as we are. But so I think the methodology, instead of just going laboriously through all 12 candidates, that we start with Warren and then nominate two candidates. And if there's a commonality, we can comb down on those individuals. And if it's scattered all over the place, then we have to figure out what to do and how to handle it. So, is that okay with the board? Does that sound like a decent methodology?
Yeah. No, just start with me.
Okay, then we'll start with Dr. Shui, who's much more compliant to the
board. We're going to use some refractories.
I didn't know what that was. Give me a chance to get the game rules down here.
Okay. I'll give you more time in the future.
Yeah.
So I'd just like to underline the previous comments that we have a list of 12 individuals here, any one of which would serve admirably in the position. And some of this is just going to—it's really very difficult to pick two even out of this list of 12. George Johnson was one of the three authors on the previous advisory panel report, which was dated August 31st, 2006. So he's been down this road a little bit before, and he also has experience with fire and EMS. So he would be a choice. And I'm really struggling, I've got to say, for the second individual, because I almost co-equally weight the other candidates here. And as I struggle to come up with a solution here, I would, I think, suggest also that we consider Brendan Callan, since he has emergency services perspectives. And I think he wrote a very good letter of interest. I think you could bring something to the table.
Thank you, Mark.
I would agree with you, Mark, on Brendan. Just, I think he could offer great insight in that position. But I also would like to see Barbara Sharp involved because of her experience with the hospital board and her legal expertise.
That's a better mic.
Much better. I think I would agree that George Johnson has his background touches on all aspects of what the committee is going to be doing. He was a PhD commissioner involved with EMS and fire, and was on the committee for the town and district fire mergers. So he has quite a bit of experience there. And everybody says it is kind of a struggle to pick and choose from all these people. We could only pick one anyway. Mitch Schlosser has had almost 39 years, four decades of experience in the ranks of fire and fire-based EMS. So he has a background there. And he was a medic at the Seattle-based Medic One. And he continues to work with the Seattle Paramedic Training Curriculum, so I would say he's a good choice also.
Thank you, Rebecca. I picked Dan Paulson. Dan was the very first paramedic here on the island when Frank Wilson was struggling to get this program together. At that time it was under Fire 3, and since joined hands with the PhD in lieu of Fire 3. Dan has gone through all of it. Some of it's political, some of it's emotional, a lot of it's operational. And he would have a lot to bear, I think, in terms of historical basis. He's a darn hard worker. He's been on my healthcare foundation for many, many years. And I think he has a really good pulse on the feelings of the common person. My second choice is George Johnson. Dr. Schwinge and Rebecca basically scooped me on why he's a wonderful candidate. I must say, in the potential marriage of Tower Friday Harbor Fire and Fire District 3, I think he was chair, was he not, Bob?
I believe he was, yes.
Yeah. I've known George for many, many years. He served actually 12 years as a hospital district commissioner, three of which as chair. education of the guy, you know, he's a Stanford mechanical engineer, master's degree, MBA, Stanford's MBA program, second only to Harvard's in terms of quality and desirability. So I've seen him in action. He's well-spoken. He's does his homework. So I think he's, you know, my second candidate of choice. Thank you.
I look at this a little bit differently. When I went through this, I sort of thought Chuck Daldorf might be fired or something, or George Johnson. I looked at it a little more. And I thought the commission was supposed to be lay people telling this stuff. Now we have people who have been in the system, and I'm going to hear what I've heard for a long time, because I know what they say. The outreach program was to reach out, not to reach in. And what I'm hearing here is a bunch of reaching in. So my choice was David Ballmer and, believe it or not, Rick Fraser on their CVs, and they're the outside looking in. So that's where I stand on it. And I think we have a question that we have to answer among ourselves. Are we going to look in, or are we going to look out to the community? These other people will all make their opinion known to us one way or another. This is a small island. But if we want to ask for an outreach committee and ask the public to respect us, I think we have to reach out, not in. And that's why I support these two people. And they have great CVs.
So I, you know, certainly have alluded to, if not outright, said that the point of view of not only the PhD but Fire 3 in the town of Friday Harbor is to not try to micromanage or manipulate this group. It's on balance. You want people who have been there, done that. George Johnson's a case in point. That's all historical. He's been around town for decades, and so I think he has that reaching out point of view. But it's filtered through learning glasses, so I don't disagree with you, but I voted differently for different reasons. Any other comments from the board?
Well, I would like to say that the three people that are chosen, one by us, one by fire, and one by town, will choose two more people. And so that would be, you know, their choice to see who they want to work with, and they might very well choose from the outside as opposed to the inside.
It's a philosophical difference. It's nothing about Johnson or Paulson individually. It's about we formed a committee to reach out. And what it looks like to me reading it is we're reaching in.
Fair
but
enough.
I've lost votes before. Go ahead.
So have I, Maureen. Yeah. Any other comments on Elisa?
No, it's a really good point, Commissioner Appleton.
Dr. Schwing.
No further comment.
So, Nathan, there seems to be a consensus that is George Johnson. Am I correct? He has three votes.
Well, I mean, you could hold a plurality. We could list the names you guys listed and hold a plurality vote if you want. But let me see here. So, George Johnson, one, two, three. Three of you mentioned George Johnson. Brendan Cohen got mentioned twice. And then I think the others were all mentioned once.
That's what I have.
Yeah.
I recorded as we did.
Yeah, so I think those were the two, Brendan, George Johnson and then Brendan Cohen seem to be the only ones that got more than one, you know, notion of interest, and not really votes, but expression of interest.
So let's do it alphabetically as we did in appointing commissioners and by plurality vote, as you mentioned, Nathan. So the first candidate is Brendan Cowan. All in favor of his candidacy? Say aye. Raise
aye.
Your hand. Two. All in favor of George Johnson? Raise your hand. Say aye.
Aye.
Three. George Johnson prevails by a vote of 3-2.
Okay. So, I think the way you have to do this then is, so you've narrowed it down to one candidate, and now you have to pass a motion appointing him. Similar to like, you know, when we had the vote on the chief.
Yeah, but implicit in plurality vote, I mean, there's no downside to passing a motion. We will do that. But implicit in a plurality vote is a vote, and in times past, we have used that in lieu of a motion, per se, because it is a majority action of the board. So
whatever you want to do.
Well, you always prevail with rules and ranks. So can we hear a motion to appoint George Johnson as a representative of the PhD to the Citizens Advisory Group?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it. Any discussion? Call for a vote. All in favor, aye.
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 Aye. I abstain.
And then do the nay as well. Give if.
I'll say nay.
Okay.
What was Annalisa's vote?
Nay.
Okay.
Even though she lost the vote, she still needs a chance to
I was just digesting what Warren said there, but I haven't forgotten about him. So. Okay.
Sorry.
So three ayes, one abstention, and one nay.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Motion passes by majority. Now we move to new business. First item of consideration was Resolution 18-483, entitled to update bank signature cards per RCW 42.24.180. And I think, Pam, you're going to talk about that.
Okay, this resolution is just a record-keeping kind of type of resolution with the board makeup change of people. We need to change the signature card at Islanders Bank to have the chair, which would be Michael Edwards, and the secretary, Annalisa Lindstrom, to be on the signature cards for the San Juan County Public Hospital District Number 1 account, which also is still the Inner Island Medical Center account until they decide to close all of the insurance type things. Every once in a while, we do have to do some refunds. They, believe it or not, they don't process them, you know, very timely. They're still working on 2011. So we do still need to have a bank account. We don't write hardly any checks anymore, but we still need to have that availability. So,
any questions of Pam? I would like to proffer a motion that the board accept Resolution 18-483 as written.
Seconded.
Any discussion? No discussion. Call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Passes unanimously. And the last order of business is Resolution 18-484, entitled to change financials from GAAP basis to cash basis. Pam?
Okay, this resolution, as our time as we've been working with the state auditors for our 2015-2016 audit, we have been looking at, Chris alluded to the fact that we are GAAP and accrual basis, and the county is cash basis. The other junior districts, the Orcas Fire, the Lopez Hospital District, they are all cash basis. And this would put us on the same accounting method as the county. And as you see, we get the reports every month from the county. When the auditors come to audit, they look at our system and they look at the county system, and it's really hard to reconcile the two. And that also takes more time during our audit for them to do all of this reconciling. So it's been recommended, and our accountant, Chris Compton, and Chief, and myself feel like it would be a good time to switch our accounting method from accrual GAAP method to cash so that we could better work with the county, and it would be more efficient and easier for everyone to understand. And so that's what this resolution is about, changing our accounting basis from GAAP and accrual to cash basis. And we do our annual reports every year. They're due by June 30th. So this would allow us to do our report that's due for 2017 in the cash basis. So we would be able to, you know, hit the ground running and get everything switched over, and I think we would find that it would work a lot better, more efficient. And Chris, did you want to say anything about this?
Yeah, if I can get the mic.
No.
No one wants to hear the accountant.
That's true.
Make it short.
Yeah. I'll keep it short.
Come on, Courtney.
Okay, so a little background on this is that typically, I mean, when the hospital district ran a hospital, there was a real business type entity going on. And in those situations, reporting on the accrual basis of accounting makes sense. At this point, the district no longer has a hospital that they operate. Typically, fire departments and EMS agencies all operate on a cash basis. Like Pam said, the county reports on the cash basis. Some counties in the state do the accrual basis, some do the cash basis. But really, fundamentally, almost all of our accounting is along the lines of the cash basis anyway, other than our accounts receivable and our accounts payable rarely change from year to year, so that doesn't have much of an impact. At this point, theoretically, at this point, our accounts receivable aren't really going to be fluctuating much either. So, fundamentally, I don't think you're going to see a significant change in how the numbers look. And like Pam said, the county reports are all on the cash basis anyway. As an accountant, I have a special place in my heart for the accrual basis because it really gives you a picture of what's on the balance sheet. I want to know what accounts receivable are, what accounts payable are, what accrued liabilities there are, things like that. The other 99% of the people in the world that are not accountants or financial analysts tend to get confused by it, or it just doesn't really matter to them. By having to keep our cash with it, because we have to use the county as a treasurer and we have to use all the reports that we get from them, we end up basically keeping two sets of books. We have to put everything in QuickBooks here so that we can maintain the accrual basis of accounting, because the auditors, though I disagree with this, say that we're not maintaining a general ledger if we're just taking a cash basis ledger and making the adjusting journal entries to go from a cash basis to accrual for the financial statements. So basically, we have to keep two sets of books, which Accounting 101 tells you the only people that keep two sets of books are running fraud schemes. So, the running joke is you have two sets of books, one for the tax agency and one that actually tells you what's going on. No, that's why. Just for it's going to have a huge improvement on the efficiency for the district to switch over to the cash basis. That was not short. Sorry, it's a long pent up rant.
So it was 7.5 minutes actually. We timed it.
Brutal.
Any questions, Chris? Yes, Dr. Schwenk.
Yeah, is the accrual basis not a generally accepted accounting practices principles method? Is it not definitively a GAAP method, the accrual basis?
So generally accepted accounting principles is accrual basis of accounting. Cash is considered an other comprehensive basis of accounting. For the purposes with this state, With the state, you have two options when you're reporting with the state. You have the cash basis or you have the accrual basis. So there's GAAP and there's the Governmental Accounting Standards Board, GASB, that kind of makes their own little pronouncements that are beyond what the overall accounting pronouncements are. This is not supposed to be an accounting class here, but the cash is an accepted form, and basically all fire departments and EMS agencies throughout the state use it. So when the chief and I were at we went to a GAAP bars class 2 years ago in Yakima, and the lady there thought we were nuts for even being in that class, because she said fire agencies aren't, we're supposed to be within the fire agency, like I talked about with how our bars, accounts, and stuff go. And that makes us, she said that by definition, we're supposed to be on the cash basis. So there's been a little back and forth between, we've never really gotten clarity from the auditors, from the state auditor's office, but we've been asking this question for probably 3 years. And they finally said, well, we can't really tell you not to, we can't. They said that would be acceptable, but before they didn't always give us a clear answer. Yes?
So let me see if I have this right. We're moving over a cash basis because, one, everyone else does it in this scenario, not everyone else, but
yeah.
In the fire scenario.
Uh-huh.
And
the county.
And the county does it that way.
Yep.
And with an EDEN program, I think we discussed.
Yes.
And I've heard the word more efficient and getting easier like 5 times between these two sides of the room in the last 5 minutes. When I hear that, I think economy and of operations. So is this going to save us money?
Yes.
How and how much?
Well, you're probably going to pay me less. There will be other efficiencies gained just by less administrative time. Some of that may be a little bit of a fixed cost, but others won't be. We won't be buying a QuickBooks subscriptions. So it's going to save money there as well. I would expect that because the financial statements are simpler and a little more consistent with other agencies, it will reduce the cost of audits.
Okay.
As well from the state auditor's office. So I would expect, I haven't done an analysis, but finger to the wind, it might save us $5,000 a year. You know, when you factor in the audit costs, maybe more.
So if we get into this negotiation with District 3,
yeah.
Are we going to be able to compare apples and apples in budgets, or maybe oranges and oranges, since my name is Appleton?
Yes. Well,
would it be the same format or just a different cash format?
Well, our budget is, because we're tied in with the county's EDEN system, our budget has pretty much always been on the accrual basis, or excuse me, the cash basis anyway.
So it paralleled theirs.
But if you were to look at our financial statements, they would not be as comparable. Because they are on if you were to look at our audited financial statements, they would not be as comparable. But by having audited financial statements that are on the cash basis, the fire district and the county, and I'm sure the town fire, or you know, the fire district and EMS will both have cash basis financial statements that will be comparable, oranges to oranges.
Thank you. Can I move resolution?
Yeah, you haven't, but I think it's about time that we have.
Yeah, resolution 18484. I move.
Second.
Discussion. In the absence of discussion, I call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Passes unanimously. That's the last item on the written agenda. Are there any further considerations? Basis of discussion for the board prior to adjournment. In the the absence of comment, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you so much.
Good meeting.
You always surprise me.